Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. You know, I, coming up, used to believe certain things about the world. You know, you grow up, you watch TV. I'm growing up, I see certain movies, I hear what people in my family and my neighborhood say, and I take on certain beliefs about the world because all I know is what I know. And then over time, especially as an adult, I get to spend a lot of my years unlearning some of the stuff I learned as a kid. You know, I think that's a journey that we all end up going on. And so I remember things like, if someone is wealthy, if someone has a good job, that means that they're probably a person of good character, of good morals, someone to look up to. And then at the same time, I've been in situations, or I remember learning, that someone with less money, someone who might not have what is considered such a great job, that's because they're not working hard enough. Maybe they don't have the right stuff. But then as I got older, I got to unlearn some of that. Because what I have learned is that someone can be rich. Someone can have a great job like President of the United States and still be nasty. Could still be someone I might question their character. And I've also learned that someone can have less money and be kind-hearted. And when it comes to something like being charitable, giving from what limited amount of resources they may have, I've learned that oftentimes people with less money are more empathetic and give more as a percentage of their income to others. Also, I remember coming up during the years of crack, war on drugs, and constantly seeing in the news how some of the young adults from around the way that used drugs were criminals, predators, bad people. And yet growing up at the same time, when I would get to the age of around 17 or 18 and go off to college, I would see young adults about the same age as some from around the way using drugs too. They were considered exploring life, and it was seen as a rite of passage. You see the pattern developing here? Affluent college students
that use drugs or just exploring. They're coming of age. Not so affluent, and oftentimes folks that look like me, when they're in their teenage years using drugs, they're criminals and addicts, thugs, can't control themselves. And if I broaden it out, because that's just people I'm talking about, but let's talk about some countries. Imagine if a country had rules for segregation under the assumption that some of its citizens were not equal in mind, body, or soul, or spirit. That if I told you there was a country that believed in rules like Jim Crow, or believed in rules like slavery when that country was first founded, I might call that country a sugar honey iced tea hole. For those who know what I just did there, take the first letter of each word from sugar, honey, ice, and tea, then add hole in the end, you know what I'm doing there. So if I told you there was a country that enslaved people, then segregated them, and then now incarcerates them at rates higher than they do the general public, I might contend that that place is a sugar, honey, iced tea whole country. And we could debate that. But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't claim that everybody in that country is a bad person. Because as hard as it may be sometimes, I do try to take everyone as an individual. And so I will not indict that everyone in America is a bad person just because America had some destructive, disrespectful, and disgusting laws and ways about it from its founding up until now. Because underdogs, even though many may try to do it, my requests, my ask, I'm just, please don't fall into the trap. Class doesn't equal character. Country that you're from doesn't equal your character. It's hard to feel special. One of the reasons why I started this show and started the Underdog Stuff consulting, coaching, and community company overall was because I had this calling, this curiosity, this passion for trying to figure out how we as underdogs rediscover how special we are in the world. And as you know, there's a lot of work that we all get to do on the inside. Stuff I've been working on for years about things I made up about myself that aren't true, dealing with traumatic issues from when I was a child, all those things I go through, you go through, we go through. And that's one piece. And again, it's hard to feel special, to feel like we're enough, to feel like we matter. And that's one battle. As they say, the battle going on inside of each of us. But then there's also a battle going on outside too. I remember being young in my career in marketing and general management, running businesses here locally in the U.S. and around the world. And I remember being at work, oftentimes not feeling special. Because I got the sense that I didn't look the part. If I wanted to be CEO of a Fortune 100 company, I felt like I didn't look the part. I was black. I was 5'11", most CEOs of companies, most presidents over 6 feet tall. Also, I was young. I was in my early 20s. Most people are more seasoned, older, as they get into leadership positions, especially in corporate America. And oftentimes, I felt out of place, which I think is normal, right? Whenever you're in a situation on a team in an environment where you're not like everybody else, I think it's natural for you, me, to feel uncomfortable. So there's nothing unique about that. But what was, I believe, troublesome when I felt like I didn't belong in this corporate setting was that there were times I felt undervalued, underestimated, because I didn't look the part or fit the norm. And when I think about the sugar, honey, iced tea hole comment from, you know, reported that Donald Trump said in reference to discussions about what's going to be the America's immigration policy going forward, I got to thinking, this comes from a man who believes that America gets to return to being great again, which means that there's an assumption that it was great before and not so great now. And I actually think the whole premise is faulty. I don't even want to go backwards in terms of what was great before, what wasn't. Oftentimes, I believe things get better with time. And so I'm trying to figure out how we can be the best we can be. But remember earlier in the show when I talked about things I learned growing up that I had to unlearn when I got older? Like, I learned when I was younger that people who were wealthy, people who had good jobs, had good character, affluent college students, they were exploring when it came to drugs. My people from around the way were criminals when they were exploring drugs. Obviously, I learned that that's not true. Class doesn't equal character. There's a man in the White House who is wealthy and has a good job who has questionable character. There's people who don't have as much money as Donald Trump, but give a higher percentage of the money and resources they have to people in their lives, to family members, to charity. And as we know, just using black and white, black Americans, white Americans consume and use drugs at the same rate, although they are incarcerated at higher rates if they are minority versus the majority. Class doesn't equal character. Also, countries don't equal character either, right? Any American who's over 50 years old lived in America during Jim Crow, segregation, a time where this country, both in its laws and its culture, deemed black Americans not really full citizens in this country. Does that mean every American over 50 is a bad person? Does that mean that America is a sugar, honey, iced tea hole? But let me get back to my point, though, about making America great again, because oftentimes when I think back to even my work situation, I don't mind someone being challenged, confronted, having a difficult time with me being different or not looking the part. But I do have a problem with being underestimated or undervalued, that someone who's 6 foot tall and a white male is great, and someone who's me is not. And I think we do something similar when it comes to how we describe America versus Haiti and versus countries in Africa. See, things can be different, but it doesn't mean that one is better than the other, or one is great and one is bad. But there's some things we need to unlearn, I believe, underdogs as Americans. I was talking to a friend the other day. Shout out to Asha Davis, who helped launch this show and she's Canadian. And one day we were talking about the topic of America wants to get back to a status as the greatest country in the world. And as a Canadian, she said to me, "What makes you think America is the greatest country in the world?" And part of me was like, "Well, I don't. That's a good question. I've been told that America is the greatest place in the world, and a lot of us have been told that. And at the same time, I know that over 60% of you listening right now don't even have a passport. So most of us haven't even gone any other place to know whether this is the greatest country on earth." So before we start talking about who are the sugar, honey, iced tea hole countries and who aren't, and we're great, or we need to be great again, or we were great before, I would offer that we should probably even consider unlearning that we are the greatest country, and that that means by default the others are not. And maybe the mindset should be we are a good country. And guess what? There's also other good countries out there, too. It made me think of this clip that I found from a show called Newsroom. And the actor in the show is getting questioned about how great is America. And this is how that clip goes.
Why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Well, the New York Jets. No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world? Well, Lewis and Sharon said it. Diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom. I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question. Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied. One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so smart, how can they lose so always?
Hey!
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite?
Let's make America great again. Well, that's under the assumption that we've been great. And I believe that at any time we're likely doing the best we can. But I would again offer, it's okay to say that we're a good country, a growing country. But to say that we're the best in the world, and that other places are sugar, honey, iced tea holes, well, that might be a stretch. Now, you know how I roll. That was a clip from a TV show. And I was like, I like the spirit of it, right? Because it challenges our thoughts about great, great again, the greatest. We already know that class doesn't equal character. And I want to make the point that the country you come from doesn't equal your character either. And I had to look this up because I'm like, those stats, what do you, I've been told for most of the years I've been on this planet that I live in the greatest country in the world. So, of course, those other places are sugar, honey, iced tea holes because they don't compare to where I live. That's what I've been told. And for the first 20 or so years of my life, I didn't even have a passport. I couldn't even go verify anything because I had never left this country. So I'm not passing any judgment on you out there, especially you Trump supporters that accidentally find the show. But I'm saying you might want to unlearn some things because country doesn't equal character. So I went and searched the internet. Shout out to my producer, Megan, who helped find some of these facts. Because I was like, really? Are we really not the greatest? Because sometimes some humility can help our character. So the economy. This was some data from, I believe, 1 or 2 years ago. Unemployment in the developed world. America has unemployment, as most people know, because Trump talks about it all the time lately, of under 5%. Did you know that's only the 10th best unemployment rate amongst some of the richest countries in the world? Income inequality. While we may be one of the richest countries in the world, we have one of the widest gaps between the upper class and those who don't make as much money as those in the upper class. Healthcare. Again, right? We're the greatest. We spend the most money per person on healthcare of any country in the world. Yet, we're not so great when it comes to life expectancy. Not so great when it comes to chronic illness. Again, compared to other countries in the rest of the world. Guns! We got lots of them. Not necessarily the place I was looking to be number one. Immigration. It's an interesting one. We have one of the largest immigration populations in the world. However, when it comes to letting in those who really need refuge, need help, we have one of the lowest percentage of intake of refugees from around the world. So much for that. We take in your sick, your tired, your poor. We pollute. Second most, well, CO2 emissions. Second worst offender of that in the world behind China. Just a couple facts. I also saw Bloomberg did a study of best countries in the world. We came in 29th. USA Today did a study. We came in 7th. I say all that to say, regardless of whether it's 29, number 2, number 7, number 6, they aren't number 1. Class doesn't equal character, and neither does the country you come from. And quiet is kept, while it may be debatable about how great we are, I'm no longer in the camp of this blanket statement of that we're the greatest. And maybe if we had some humility about it all, we wouldn't even think of conflating people with being bad, even if we believe that their governments are questionable. Just like I'm not going to say all Americans were bad in the 1800s. All Americans were bad in the 1900s because of slavery and Jim Crow in America. But I will say the governments were sugar, honey, ice, tea holes for wanting to enslave Americans and also take away their rights during Jim Crow.
Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.